Spingola, and this is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. Rodney is the director of Worldview Foundations, and that website is wvfoundations.org. And you were talking about the adopt. Well, first of all, you brought up the Indian Child Welfare Act. I believe that was back in 1978, and I totally believe that to be true, that when you take a child out of its native culture, no matter if you think you're doing that child a really big favor, they never know quite where they belong. For instance, a white couple that takes an Indian child, that Indian child grows up with mixed emotions about what culture they belong to. And it can be very difficult for that child. And as you said before we went to break, these Hollywood couples or anybody who adopts out-of-culture children, those children have a very difficult time because there are differences. There are race differences. There are cultural differences that need to be addressed and acknowledged.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have the situation where the Native Americans are saying, yes, there is racial identity. You have the Negroes saying, yes, there is racial identity. And above all, the mestizos, the Latino community says above all, I mean, they have militant groups that say, yes, there is racial identity. And so when you have these Marxist political correctness saying, no, there's no such thing as race, what they're really saying is there's no such thing as race for white European peoples, that their race should not be a consideration and there's no racial identity, and the sooner that they are essentially race mixed out of existence, the better off the world will be. That is their position. And, you know, I don't believe in candy coating. You know, it is words mean something, and when people are trying to you know, gently tiptoe around the tulips around what they're saying, I tend to call them on it. And they can't stand up and say, no, white couples can't adopt this. They can't, you know, we can't have that. But at the same time, say there's no such thing as race. They can't have it both ways, only when it benefits them. The fact is, Dr. Gross was absolutely correct in 1934. The National Socialists were correct in their racial policies, and their racial policies were not hate-based. It clearly showed through science, which, you know, and this is something that the world has known forever, even before the National Socialists, was that there are racial differences. Peoples are different. They're different by bloods. They're different by characteristics. They're different by culture. And that's just the way the world works. And any nation or artificially created nation where you have tried to forcibly integrate different peoples under the barrel of a gun, Yugoslavia, the Soviet Union, whatever, those countries have all failed. And it's been an absolute catastrophe. I mean, look at the Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia. I mean, they're now split in two, in the way that it should be. And you know who was the original German occupation? They split that country, and they liked it that way. And Slovakia thrived, absolutely thrived. And then they forced it back into a single nation after the war. And as soon as the communist boot was off of it, they split again the way that it was originally set up under the National Socialist system. So, and I kind of say, kind of digress there, but I think, you know, fundamentally, what the National Socialist race policy was, is it recognized through not only science, but spirituality, which we're going to see in the next statement by Dr. Gross, which he made specifically to women, that race was something that was not hate-based. It was something that was to be embraced, and it was not... it was something that was just part of nature.
Right. All righty. We've got a real quick break. We will be right back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
Are you struggling to reclaim your health? Let me share my story quick. My nightmare of chronic fatigue, PTSD, and autoimmune issues cost me everything. A bankruptcy, loss of home, even my wife walked out on me with no hope in sight. A miracle happened after hitting my lowest point. I discovered ion and RNA drops. It literally saved my life. I want to share my story with you and offer you a trial-size mini bottle of RNA drops. Visit www.rnafreemini.com. Again, that's www.rnafreemini.com. It's time to take your power back now. You can also look for our free trial offer ad at republicbroadcasting.org, RNA drops.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Hannah, with us today is Todd Smart. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org.
Deanna, here is a final, my third piece that I selected from Dr. Gross, and this is a speech he made specifically to German women and girls, and in it I think you're going to find he made two very prolific statements about the future. And this speech was given in 1936, and he says, my dear German women and girls, when Germans come together today to discuss the things that concern us both as individuals and as a nation, it is a solemn occasion, whether we wish it to be or not. During the political struggles of the past, we could speak of party programs or of civilization without any involvement of our soul. Now we have forgotten how to approach an issue merely with our understanding, merely with our mouth, merely with our heart. We have become a whole people once again. When we speak with others, we do so with our full being. And that's an outstanding statement. Then I'm going to skip on. Then he goes on and it's almost like bullet points where he's hitting on main topics. He says, the value of blood and race. Our enemies first laughed in pity, then in hatred when we spoke of it. That still happens today. Let us speak of what we National Socialists mean by that so that it will become clear why the German women may be even more concerned about these matters when the man, his state, and his fighting organizations can be. There was a time in the past when we were untrue, untrue in the deepest sense. We were untrue not to other people or parties or states or kings, but untrue to something far greater, untrue to the laws of life and nature. As long as the world exists, as long as life grows, flourishes, and perishes, so long will this life have to urge to live on into the future and win new territory, whether plant or animal or man, as we or I or you. Wherever there is life, it has the longing to bring forth a new life. It should be unnecessary to speak of such things. We speak of them only because of a few decades of a crazy era just thus passed. He's talking about Weimar, he says, in which there was blasphemy and such important things were mocked and beautiful things were mocked. And he goes on, and this is where it's important. He talks about a dying people. He says, when a people begins to die, when a people no longer obeys the laws of life, when a people values money more than its existence and posterity, this people is on a path to disaster, both historically and politically. This is Dr. Gross talking in 1936. Within a few decades, it will be dead, oppressed by other peoples who are stronger, closer to life, or who follow life's laws better than we. Let's stop right there, Deanna. Okay. I will submit that he is absolutely correct. He said that those who do not follow life's laws will be dead or be subjugated by those who do. Deanna, let me ask you a question. Do the Jews preserve and protect and defend their identity?
Defend their what? You cut out. I think we've lost you. Have we lost Rodney again? Hopefully not, but I was going to bring something up in regard to this race issue, and also in the vengeance and retribution that occurred after the war, wherein a lot of Soviet soldiers committed horrendous atrocities against German women. In addition to violent vengeance, the victorious Red Army felt they had a prerogative to sexually use and abuse the females of every age in the countries they had invaded and subdued. During the Soviet occupation, the Russians raped approximately 2 million women and girls just in East Germany during the first few months of the Soviet occupation. The majority of the rapes were the more violent gang rapes, usually witnessed by numerous Germans to increase the dehumanizing humiliation. Perpetrators who engaged in gang rapes wanted the husbands, sons, and fathers to witness their dastardly deeds in order to inflict pain and outrage. Yet those witnesses could not protect their female family members and friends. Impregnation was a goal to bastardize the race. It was deliberate and prevalent and a reminder of the horrendous experiences suffered during the war and occupation. All right, Rodney is back. I was just talking about the fact. Rodney, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah. Apologize again. There must be a just bad internet connection or something.
Well, I think it might be a Skype issue, but I was just talking about the gang rapes and the bastardization of the Germans during with the invasion of the Soviets into Eastern Germany, and I was kind of relating it to kind of a retribution tactic for the earlier concerns about race, and this seemed to be deliberate.
Yeah, well, at least 2.5 million German women, little girls, and old women were raped by the American ally, the Soviet Union, and there's been no accounting for that, Deanna. And during the East German, what was called the German Democratic Republic, those women had to be basically take a position that there was no rape. And the German government today there's been no accounting for this. And to have a government that essentially takes the position that the rape of its women has to be taken in stride because the nation deserved it, you essentially have a government that is not a government that's representing its nation. It's a vassal state. So if I can get back, as I was making a key point when
sure,
I got cut off, and that was that statement that Dr. Gross made talking about a dying people. He said, and I'm going to restate that quote because it's very critical. He said this in 1936, When a people begins to die, when a people no longer obeys the laws of life, when a people values money more than its existence and posterity, this people is on a path to disaster, both historically and politically. Within a few decades, it will be dead, oppressed by other peoples who are stronger, closer to life, and who follow life's laws better than we. And I'm going to stop, and that was the question I was going to ask you, Deanna. The Jews do preserve, protect, and defend their identity. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely.
These other ethnic groups do the same thing. I will submit that unless the European people of European descent follow Dr. Gross's advice, that is what's going to happen in the United States with this wave of third world immigration, because the third worlders come in and they preserve their identity. There is no assimilation. They do not come here to become Americans. They come in, and what's happening is America is being forced to become a bunch of different third world confederations. And what's going to happen is as the white population declines, they will be subjugated, just like what Dr. Gross is talking about in 1936. And he went a step further in 1936. Dan, he made a prediction. He said, quote, he followed up from that statement. He said, if present trends continue by the end of the century, which would have been, 1999, Germany will be a nation with only 40 to 50 million inhabitants. Now, when he said 40 to 50 million inhabitants, he meant purebloods. How many pureblood Germans do you think are left in the exterior borders of Germany today? If you take out all the Turks and the Somalians and all that, his prediction is almost dead on. He's almost dead on in 1936. Of course, he wasn't factoring the war and those things, but he's absolutely correct, because the policies he was talking about, he was criticizing the Weimar policies, he was criticizing the population decline, if you read this speech in its entirety. The final quote in the speech I'm going to cover, and then I actually want to talk about the legislation. He says, quote, you are a member of a chain of life. And we talked about that earlier. He always was talking broadly in broader terms. The policy was not go out and exterminate people, contrary to Hollywood and the Jewish narrative. That was never, ever. That's just a complete fabrication. You are a member of a chain of life, a drop in the great bloodstream of your people. There, too, you have duties and obligations before the eternity of the nation. You have the duty to pass on what you have received from your parents and ancestors. And that is something I'll tell you that my grandparents used to tell me, Deanna, my German grandparents, that I had a duty to pass on what they would have been passed on to them. I remember my grandmother telling me that. So she must have heard him speak. Right. I do not believe... that such behavior, which obeys both the laws of reasons and the laws of life, is barbaric, hateful, or inhumane. Let's restate that. I do not believe that such behavior, which obeys the laws of reason and of life, is barbaric, hateful, or inhumane. Now, that is what is taught today, though. What is taught today by the Marxist political correct machine, Hollywood, the Jews, and people like Mr. Tooze, is that laws of reason, of nature, of real love, which is what Dr. Gross is talking, is barbaric, hateful, and inhumane. It's just almost like they got everything working backwards. It's like the Twilight Zone. He went on and said, I believe instead that barbarism is to be found in the years we have just left behind us with all the dirty clout and the besmirchment on our society. He's talking about Weimar. Deanna, he's making a direct saying that Weimar was barbarism with the assault on the German culture and traditions. He was absolutely correct. He said, I believe that when we tell people...
We do have a break, and we do have some callers lining up, so we will be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Answer it. How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within 3 stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. And I do have a quick email comment from Joe, and I quote, "I believe the Hollywood celebrities adopting African babies may be doing so under the threat of never working again to further the diversity agenda. Doesn't the same tribe that pushes multi-cult diversity agenda own Hollywood?" Unquote.
Well, absolutely. And I think also... I think it's also a way of expressing their self-loathing. I mean, I'm going to be perfectly brutally honest there. I think you see, you know, Angelina Jolie's doing it, and then, of course, they have to keep up with the Joneses, and then, of course, Madonna had to go and buy one someplace in Africa. But I think it's a couple of things. I think, bear in mind also that the Jews believe in multiculturalism and race mixing except for themselves. And so, you know, they push it, and they only push it on essentially European, people of European ethnicity. I think your email question is spot on in part, but I also think that there is a large degree of self-loathing on some of these individuals that they think everybody else should have, and this collective guilt, which is absolutely artificial.
Right. All right. Let's take a caller.
Sure.
Let's take Bruce in Oregon. Bruce, welcome to the program, and thank you for waiting.
Yeah, thank you. In Hollywood, you know, when you get the adopting other races, that tends to be not the Jewish people in Hollywood who are doing that. The Jews don't tend to adopt other races. They encourage everyone else to do it. And, you know, there are people in Hollywood who call for that. But the Jews themselves, they're not into that adapting other races so much. I was wondering if Roddy has noticed. I notice a lot, you know, in the Patriot movement and alternative media where when Jews are identified, you know, on Wall Street, the Lloyd Blankfeins, the Jamie Dimons, you know, the Ben Bernankes, I notice all the time when these people are identified as Jews that in the alternative media you'll have the host saying, well, they aren't really Jews. They're just pretending to be Jews. This to me just is ridiculous. I mean, nobody pretends to be a Jew. Now, there are Jews who change their name so that they won't be recognized as such, but never in my life have I run into anyone who pretends to be a Jew.
Well, I think that is from the Khazar mentality, the Khazar policy, where those people really aren't Jews that say they are Jews. In other words, they are from a Turkish background. And yeah. So thank you very much, Russ, for your phone call. Okay, let's take Richard in Washington. Richard, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Two points of discussion. Has Rodney ever run across a book called Ominous Parallels?
I've heard of it. I do not own it. I have not had a chance, but I had one of my readers on my site recommend it, and I'm actually going to look it up.
Okay, good. Yeah, I just wanted to know what you would think of the history involved with Peikoff as he took over from Ayn Rand, because that puts it a little bit into question. But as Deanna knows, I look at things more from a psychological, anthropological perspective. And if you're functioning as a tribe, you're only efficient from about 50 to 200 because you have personal recognition of everybody in the tribe. When you start getting larger than that, you get into a diffuse multi-herd kind of interaction because you don't really recognize those people around you. They could be enemies, they could be friends. So you're really on guard with all people. And it seems to me the only people that retain that tribal mentality are what I call the inbreeding sociopathic tribe. And they keep a personal recognition, keep a cohesiveness, and that's why they function so effectively in our social situation.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm not sure that I'd like to talk. It's a fascinating discussion. I'd like to talk to you maybe by email. You can reach me by director@wvfoundations.org because I think that the Native American example, and Deanna and I touched on it, I think that example leaves a lot to be desired because I think structurally that model has not been effective at all as far as those organizations being functional. But I also think it also speaks to the racial question that we're talking about as well.
Well, if you look into the tribal situation, this is a response to Deanna's proposal. You get into an alpha male situation, and then.
Sure.
In a war situation, the males, let's just take chimpanzees as a possible comparison, they essentially display violence against the females of the other tribe. That's just a control thing. They destroy the males, and then they take control over the females. You know, that's just a tribal interaction that's known in sociology and anthropology. So I think what's happening, if we don't exert our humanness, we become more animalistic and we just resort to basic behavior.
We're seeing some examples of that in cities like Detroit.
Exactly. They're classic. I mean, when you get into those very tight, overpopulated areas, you start exerting animal behavior and not human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we need to understand, and nobody wants, it's the elephant in the room that, you know, the media will never, the mainstream media, I don't even like using the word mainstream, is that there are differences. There are racial differences.
Yeah, I'll leave my phone number with the caller call-in thing, and you can call me. I don't use email. It just seems too confusing.
All righty. Thank you so much, Richard.
All righty.
All right, we're going to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Friends, I hate to dig up painful memories, but consider this. You were raised on canned spinach, canned beans, canned beer, canned asparagus, and canned Vienna friggin' sausages. So why in tarnation would you buy canned seed? Man up and buy a Texas Ready Liberty Seed Bank. They come in a genuine resealable grab-and-go U.S. Army ammo box that protects your heirloom seeds from light, moisture, and vermin. Leave those other seed kits for the ignorant and spring for a Texas Ready Bank. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from dirt to dinner. Order a real bank today at TexasReady.net. That's TexasReady.net. And if you have one of those old cans, send it in and we'll give you 10% off a genuine Liberty Seed Bank. No questions asked. Remember, nothing good comes from a can.
And our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations, and that website is wvfoundations.org. All right, continue.
Deanna, let's talk. Let me give you, we're going to do a program, I think, in a few weeks or maybe next month on everyday life in the Third Reich. But here's a little, I like giving statistics because this is something that, proves people like Mr. Tews wrong. But on the subject of race, there's a little crossover, cross-pollinization. Here's another person we don't hear a lot of, Dr. Gerhard Wagner. He was a physician. He died in 1938. I believe he had a heart attack, but he was also, he was head director of the National Socialist German Physicians Association. There was a large number of doctors that were early members of the National Socialist Party, but he spoke at the 1936 party rally. And so these comments, I'm going to give you two really quick comments because I want to touch on some of the laws before we run out of time. But he made a comment that I think is really, really striking. And and he gave some statistics, which, again, this is 1936. And bear in mind, the National Socialists entered the government as a coalition partner in January 30, 1933. He said, since the National Socialists had come into power, there has been happy improvements. Now, bear in mind, this is just under 3 years. He says the catastrophic population decline that had been prevalent has been turned around. The number of marriages, which had fallen to 517,000 in 1932, which was the year immediately preceding the National Socialists entering the government, rose to 639,000 in 1933 and 739,000 in 1934. Now, I would submit the 739,000 is the one that should take note, because that's the first full year under the National Socialist, with the National Socialists in power, and 651,000 in 1935. The number of births per thousand reached its lowest point in 1933 at 14.7, or 971,000. In 1934, it rose for the first time in a long while to 1,197,000, or 18 per thousand, an increase of about a quarter. Despite the substantial decline in the number of marriages, the number of births rose again to 1,261,000, or 18.9% of the population. Now, this is a direct result of the very pro-family positions of the National Socialist Party. But prior to that, in his same comment, he made a speak, and his, a topic that he spoke of in 1936 party rally was race and health. And he said, quote, "History teaches us that in the long run, peoples are not destroyed by economics or politics or by natural catastrophes or by wars or inner struggles, but whether the last and ultimate cause behind every people's decline throughout history has been biological causes such as race and diseases." And he went on to speak about, you know, the need for racial purity, protection of the race, and eugenics. He was a proponent of eugenics, which that could be a topic for a future show. Let's talk about, you know, is it, you know, clear, what do the National Socialists do? We always hear about the boogeyman Nuremberg decrees and such, and, you know, what were the penalties. But essentially, Germany, for, on the racial side, they were, again, considering what, you know, they were faced with, they were rather moderate. And they adopted these in September of 1935, and, you know, they said they did these at the party rally. Well, they were announced there, they were rolled out there, but they were approved by the parliament, the Reichstag, on September 15th. And, you know, say for instance, the Reich citizenship law. It's a very simple. There's basically five sections. It says a subject of the state is a person who enjoys the protection of the German Reich, and who, in consequence, has specific obligations towards it. Wouldn't that be great if the United States had, you know, we always hear about people's rights, but we never hear about the responsibilities?
And then it says, absolutely.
Then it says, the status of the subject of the state is acquired in accordance with the provisions of the Reich and state citizenship law. The Reich citizen is a subject of the state who is of German or related blood, who proves this by conduct that he is willing and fit and faithfully to serve the German people and Reich. Reich citizenship is acquired through the granting of a Reich citizenship certificate. The Reich citizen is the sole bearer of full political rights in accordance with the law. That's it, Deanna. Does that seem hateful or draconian? That is the citizenship law that was rolled out in 1935. That's it. It's in the archives. You know, people can go and look at it and read it. The next one was the Nuremberg Law for the Protection of German Blood and Honor. And again, going back, you have to premise this is, what is a nation? And, you know, and there's other nations to this today that has laws against, you know, mixed marriages. Israel, you know, Israel actually put out a statement saying they really didn't even want Israelis to marry American Jews because they considered the American Jews' blood not to be pure enough.
That's the
Prime Minister made that statement about 3 months ago. So here's Article 1 for the Law of Protection of German Blood and Honor. Marriages between Jews and subjects of the state of German or related blood are forbidden. Marriages nevertheless concluded are invalid even if concluded abroad. Annulment proceedings can be initiated only by a state prosecutor. That's just who they gave authority to implement it. Extramarital intercourse between Jews and subjects of the state of Germany or related blood is forbidden. Jews may not employ in their households female subjects of the state of German or related blood who are under 45 years of age. Let's stop on that one for a minute.
Okay.
There is a big scandal going on. The United States State Department has a report that anybody can go and get, and it condemns, it's highly critical of the state of Israel, for importing a domestic, under the guise of domestic servants, European young girls under the age of 45. It specifically says 40 or 45, and it rang in my mind because I thought back to the Nuremberg protection of German blood and honor. Eastern European, specifically blonde and blue-eyed girls under the auspices of domestic, you know, household maids, you know, nannies and such. Once they get them over there, they're forced into prostitutions. One of the brothels is right next to a Tel Aviv police station. And yet you don't hear of this. You don't hear of this at all. So when I look at this, it's happening in 2012, and I look at this, I understand why this was happening. They were protecting their girl, their daughters. No problem with it whatsoever. Jews are forbidden to fly the Reich flag or national flag or display the Reich colors. They are, on the other hand, permitted to display the Jewish colors. The exercise of this right is protected by the state. Okay, bear in mind, the Jews considered themselves a landless state. They had declared war on the German Reich. Is this an unreasonable response? And bear in mind, these laws were enacted in September of 1935, and the World Jewish Congress had already been at war with Germany for 2 years. So right. these responses came 2 years later.
And justifiably so.
Yeah. Article 5, any person who violates the provisions under Article 1 will be punished by a prison sentence with hard labor. A male who violates the prohibition under Article 2 will be punished with a prison sentence with or without hard labor. A person violating the provisions under Article 3 or 4 will be punished with a prison sentence up to 1 year and a fine with or without these penalties. And then Article 6, it just gives the Reich Minister of the Interior, we will promulgate the implementation of it. So do we hear executions and mass deportations and gassings? Actually, it's all prison sentences and fines for violating these these decrees. The final one, and this actually was the first law, this was not done at Nuremberg. This was the law for the restoration of the professional civil service, and this was one of the first acts that the National Socialists put through with the support of their coalition partners. And this was done in April of 1933. And this was reestablishing, this was actually gaining control of the bureaucracy of the German government, which was, you know, overly dominated by foreign influences. This says the Reich government has enacted the following law promulgated herewith. And again, these are very simple. They're one pages. Anybody can look at these. So when you hear all of this boogeyman talk about all of this institutional, you know, genocide, there's no genocide. These are the laws. And I can tell you, the Jim Crow laws in the United States were far harsher than these that I just read and put on the record on your show. To restore a national and professional civil service and to simplify administration, civil servants may be dismissed from office in accordance with the following regulations, even where there would be no grounds for such action under the prevailing law. Wouldn't that be, they wanted to dismiss institutionalized bureaucrats. I wish that could happen in the United States.
Oh, my word. How different things would be.
For the purposes of this law, the following are to be considered civil servants. Direct and indirect officials of the Reich, direct and indirect officials of the Landwehr, that would be the states or provinces, officials of the local councils and federations of the local councils, and officials of the public corporations, as well as institutions of enterprise and equivalent statutes. The provisions will apply to also to officials of social insurance organizations having status as civil servants. Civil servants who have entered the service since November 9th of 1918 without possessing the required or customary educational background or other qualifications are to be dismissed from the service. Their previous salaries will continue to be paid for a period of 3 months following their dismissal. Now, let's stop on that. Essentially, you had situations during Weimar where you had these bureaucrats hiring their buddies or cousins or aunts or uncles. They weren't qualified. They weren't educated. They were given a state salary. And here the National Socialists were saying, we're not going to have that. They're not qualified. They're not educated. They're going to be replaced. But guess what? They just didn't kick them out the door. According to this provision, they were given 3 months severance pay, Deanna.
Right. Well, what you're talking about is basically what we have here in the Chicago area, or in Chicago, is Chicago politics. Most of the people that work in the bureaucracy in Chicago got their jobs because of somebody that they knew. It is so corrupt, I can't even tell you. I mean, it's terrible.
Here's one that we're dealing with today. You know, we have these corrupt pension systems. Here's one. They will have no claim to temporary pensions, full pensions, or survivor's benefits, nor retain the designation of rank or titles or to wear uniforms or emblems. Of course not. They weren't qualified to begin with. Civil servants who are not of Aryan descent are to be retired if they are of honorary officials or they are to be dismissed from their official titles, retired. In those cases, they got their pensions. Section 1 does not apply to civil servants in the office from August 1, 1914, who fought at the front for the German Reich or its allies in the World War, or whose fathers or sons fell in the World War. Other exceptions may be permitted by the Reich Minister of the Interior in coordination with the minister concerned with the highest authorities with respect to civil servants working abroad. Civil servants whose previous political activities afforded no assurance that they will at all times give their fullest support to the nation state can be dismissed from service. Now, it's pretty clear. You know, they're either going to be loyal Germans or they're not. But then the provision that I read previously, Section 2, they had provisions. If they had demonstrated that, you know, they had served at the front in World War One, they were exempted. They were fully exempted. You know, there was provision. So again, here I've read these three big decrees that you hear in the Jewish narrative and the Marxist narratives that were just so supposedly draconian and genocidal and racist. And yet what they did was essentially Germanize and nationalize the German nation. I see no hate in any of these three pieces of legislation. And in fact, the legislation that was affecting the United States was worse.
How would you compare this to the fact that we have so many dual citizens serving in our, or functioning in our government?
Well, I mean, do we even have a U.S. citizen as president of the United States right now? We'd have to ask that. But I mean, you have dual citizens and in Congress, as members of the House and Senate. And, you know, that wasn't allowed under, you know, the National Socialists kicked that idea to the curb. You know, here's the situation. Is the United States really a nation? And that is what the National Socialists did and restored when they came to power. Weimar was rapidly devolving into what the United States is today, which is basically a thing that is used. People use this thing that we call the United States for benefits, and it's squeezing it like a wash rag, and there's not a whole lot left. Now President Obama has made this rule on these illegal aliens where you can buy citizenship for $400 and call yourself an American. You have plane loads of people flying in, they have their child, they get just enough to get American citizenship, and they get on their plane and they go back, and they establish dual citizenship. You know, a nation that cannot protect its borders or even, you know, protect its borders or define its citizenship or protect its citizens or value its citizenship is not a nation. And we're not even a nation in accordance with the definition that I read at the beginning of this show. And, you know, this is why there's such a national socialism gets these Marxists and Jews and people frothing at the mouth, because it is the real nationalism and the only nationalism that has ever been really successful. You know, it brought the people together. It was successful economically. It was successful scientifically. It was successful spiritually. We haven't really touched on it. We've seen a lot of the spirituality of it in Dr. Gross's speeches and writings. You know, he touched on it both scientifically and from the spiritual side of it. But it was the only real successful model where you built a nation and the nation became self-sufficient, and it took pride in its ethnicity. And it wasn't hate-based. And, you know, I'll argue that point with anybody. It was not hate-based. Yes, during the war, there were steps that needed to be taken. But guess what? Every nation during the war made those steps. I have pictures of Manzanar, which is about 4 hours from where I – 5 hours from where I live. It was a concentration camp. And if I were to show pictures of Manzanar, people would think, oh, you took a trip to Auschwitz. I said, no, that's in California. And, you know, it's just fascinating what people can learn if they just do the work, and getting people to do the work as opposed to being fed to them by these very skewed documentaries or books like Mr. Chu's is going to be our ultimate challenge. And that's a challenge that I'm willing to, you know, work. And that's why I'm glad that you do what you do and allow me to come on and babble every once in a while.
Well, Rodney, the remarkable scholarship that you have and the research that you have done is wonderful, and I really appreciate it. And you are bringing truth to RBN. You're bringing truth to our listeners about what the country Germany stood for. And we all know, we've all been fed for years since the day we were born, through the schools, through the media, through Hollywood, that Germany was, you know, a terrible, terrible country, and that they were vicious, and that they were hateful, and that they exterminated people. It's all hogwash.
It's patent law. You know, there was a book that was written by an American publishing, son of an American publisher. I think he went over for the 36 Olympics, and I can't remember the title, Outlook, the New Germany. I have a copy of it, and I would encourage people to get that book and read that. It gives an example. It was an American, you know, and Americans during the time, they loved to go to Germany. They were fascinated by what was taking place over there.
Right. All righty. We have our last 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today, Rodney Martin, after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our 1-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on Earth.
Welcome back. Our guest today has been Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. And while the Jews were landless, they were not without military force. They used England, America, and the Soviet Union to destroy Germany.
That's absolutely correct. They've always been able to whisper in the ears, and of course, they whispered in Roosevelt's ears. And it's kind of interesting that Franklin Roosevelt, the United States was, attacked, had a war with Japan, but Roosevelt decided to go after Germany first. Of course, he had Morgenthau just itching to, decimate Germany. And that's all true. And they still do. They still manipulate. You have these AIPAC meetings in which American politicians, crawl on their hands and knees. Our presidential candidates go to Israel to get the blessing of the Israelis, which is just absolutely disgusting. And, I'm quite confident and sure that there's going to be some action with Iran that the United States will have to be drug into. And, it is what it is. And at some point, I'm hopeful that the American population will say no more at some point. And let me close, Deanna, with a couple of thoughts and a final piece from another National Socialist publication. And like I say, I always tell people, don't pay attention, don't base your thoughts on what people say or what Hollywood says. Go and do the research and look at what the National Socialists said, look at their policies. And that's one of the reasons why Worldview Foundations is working on returning and highlighting a lot of these individuals like Dr. Gross, who a lot of people just haven't heard of. But, there is institutional identity protection and racial policies in the United States. Our federal government gives grants for language protection to minority groups. There's grants for minority cultural centers and such to preserve minority groups' identity and culture and such. So, this is, in one hand, we're told that there is no such thing as race and that race doesn't matter, but that only applies to those of European ethnicity. So there's an institutional hypocrisy when it comes to race. We all know that there is racial differences and that race does matter. There was a publication put out, it was called Faith and Action. And it covered several topics, and one of them was called Blood and Race. And this was put out to young people in National Socialist Germany. But I'm going to focus on the one that says blood, because it ties into race and we've talked about it. And this was their hallmark. This is what the National Socialist was telling the next generation of Germans. You carry, and it's something that's appropriate to close in, you carry in your blood the holy inheritance of your fathers and forefathers. You do not know those who have vanished in endless ranks into the darkness of the past, but they all live in you and walk in your blood upon the earth that consumed them in the battle and the toil in which their bodies have long decayed. Your blood is therefore something holy. It is your parents that gave you not only your body, but your nature. To deny your blood is to deny yourself. No one can change it, but each decides how to grow the good that one has inherited and surpass the bad. Each has also given will and have been given the will and courage. You do not only have the right, but also the duty to pass on your blood to your children.
What an appropriate thought to end the program with. Thank you so much, Rodney.
See you next time.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Listeners, talk with you tomorrow.